Welcome, everybody. Brother Goodwin here. Let me read a verse for you here in the book of Revelation, chapter 22. We're on our journey through the book of Revelation. And guess what today is? Our final show on the book of Revelation, for now, that is. Chapter 22, the final chapter. I want to read the last two verses of the book of Revelation for you. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. That's Jesus. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. And we'll stop right there. There's one more verse, but we're going to discuss chapter 22. Doc's in the studio. We're going to end the series today with chapter 22. And I call it God's final plea to come. Have you been saved? Are you sure that you're going to heaven when that trumpet sounds? Or you should die tonight in your sleep? Are you sure, beyond all doubt, that you are born again, ready to meet Jesus? This is the final plea right here. Stay tuned. Hey, welcome, everybody. Thanks for watching. This is our final show in the series of our journeys through the book of Revelation. It's been fun, Doc.
I've enjoyed it very much.
There's been some tears.
I've thought back over it and thought about, why didn't you say this? Why didn't we say that? But it has been an enjoyable to me.
Yeah, and of course, we're just hitting some highlights, and there's no way to get it all, obviously. We'd be a couple of years here.
Or at least, yeah.
Well, let me read just a few verses here. And Revelation chapter, by the way, let's make this known. Revelation 22 continues the story from 21.
At least the first five verses really are connected.
Yep.
Just like chapter 19 was connected to chapter 18.
So this is the new. This isn't heaven. This is the new heaven and the new earth.
Yes,
and the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven.
We're in eternity and outside of time.
This is after the 7,000 years ended. Mm-hmm. And if the kingdom age is a little shaky for me, that is even more shaky.
Yeah.
But let me read a few verses here. And he showed me a pure river of water of life. Mm-hmm. Clear as crystal. So there's no doubt that the things that we have on this earth are similar to some heavenly things, right?
Because he's going to, evidently, the elements are going to melt with fervent heat, but it doesn't mean that they're going to be burnt up. Evidently, the new earth and the new heaven is going to be of the same materialistic value, same metabolic materials.
A little bit like possibly
only
the creation story.
Only without any sin.
The Garden of Eden,
yes.
And, you know, the original creation, similar to that, right. I suppose.
Because in the Garden of Eden, you had the river, you had the tree of life that we're going to read about here and whatnot. Yeah.
All right, so he showed me a pure river of the water of life, clear as crystal. Wow, that's clear as crystal water.
I don't know how deep it is, but it's going to be all the way down.
My son-in-laws are going to be wanting to know if there's going to be fishing.
If they're going to be fishing.
they're avid fishing, especially my son-in-law that's here in Illinois.
Yes, he
Michael
is.
Michael Ward, we'll give him a shout-out. He is the most avid fisherman I've ever met.
He is a good fisherman.
And proceeding out of the throne of God, and the Lamb. So the throne still
here.
This is going to be a throne. The Lamb of God's mentioned. In the midst of the street of it and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life you mentioned.
Well, now remember, we're talking about the celestial city itself is 375 miles on each side. We've already covered that.
Yeah.
You know, it's something like 52 plus billion, a million cubic miles inside here. So if his throne's in the center, it's still flowing out. Yes.
Yep. Let's see, which the tree of life, which bears 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. Now, this is during this new age.
Evidently, there is still going to be a cycle-like time.
So we're still going to eat.
Evidently.
Glory.
Evidently.
And
I'm not sure we're going to need to eat all like we eat today.
Yeah.
But
yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations.
So that tells us in the eternity to come, there's still going to be nations and peoples.
Yeah.
Now, we're in glorified bodies.
So what's he talking about? Well, at this time, this is after the kingdom age, after that final battle with Satan being loosed. Mm-hmm. Now the new heaven and new earth is here, but there's healing needed for nations. Yeah. What do you make of that?
I don't know. I wish I had a full answer to that. Yeah. I have some thoughts, but I'll keep those to myself. But It is obvious if we're going to rule and reign with Christ, which begins in the millennial reign, we're still going to be ruling and reigning with Christ in the new earth to come. Yeah. Who are we going to rule and reign over? It says there's going to be nations and there's peoples. So I don't, as to who are they, I don't know.
And of course, my theme for chapter 22, this is just my opinion, God's final plea to come to Christ.
Because he ends with that, because the last several verses is actually out of heaven, and it's back on earth in John's time.
Yeah, he comes back to John's time and says,
and
you better get saved.
In the realm of time, yes.
And look at this, there shall be no more curse. No more curse. Yep. You know, that goes back to Genesis
because
3, right?
Because the devil is no longer in existence. He's in the lake of fire and forever banished.
And no record that that'll ever be loosed again.
No.
At least not that we know of. No more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. Mm. And his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And I think we see some of that in other places in Revelation as well. Mm-hmm. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle. So if your occupation's a candle maker,
you're out of business. And, you'll find something. They'll have something for you.
Now, that's hard to comprehend because we think of light as the sun. But there'll be no need of that. He's the light.
Because the Lord is the light thereof. Yes.
Yep. In fact, neither light of the sun, it says, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
So that tells us, that helps us see, Dan, back to your question a while ago. In the making of the new heaven, is there going to be a sun and a moon?
It sounds like there's not.
And stars.
Because he just said there's no need of
which
them.
Which were all a part of the original creation.
Yeah.
But this is a new earth and a new heaven, and there's no need of a sun or a moon.
Now, the narrative changes here. I just read chapter 5, 1 through 5. When you get to chapter verse 6.
Yes.
I think he's going back to John's time.
Yes, back into the church age time.
And he starts out like this. He said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. Mm-hmm. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. So now he's gone back and looking forward.
Because
again,
the words you're reading are very similar to some of the words you read in the first chapter. Yep. Of Revelation.
Verse 7, behold, I come quickly. See, so he's gone back. Mm-hmm. I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book.
And I'm not sure God's quickly is the same time as our quickly, but on time, God's coming.
A day is as 1,000 years to God.
And everybody says, well, the Lord tarries coming. The Lord's not tarrying. Coming exactly when.
In fact, the Bible says he tarries not.
Yeah, so, but you hear people say that all the time.
And I'm sure I've said it too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You probably have. I don't think I have.
And I, John, saw these things and heard them. Now, this is John saying, man, I saw this.
He's given testimony of witness of everything that he's written. He said, I have personally
seen
this.
What a privilege the Apostle
goodness.
John got. What an amazing thing. He got to see something that no one else has seen yet.
You know, I'll make a good message for you preachers out there, but tie this in to what John's privilege was and tie it back to the Last Supper when he leaned on the breast of the Lord.
Yeah. Well, the apostle whom Jesus loved, everyone kind of agrees that it's John.
Oh, it's definitely John. Yeah. Because John's not going to write about himself.
Doesn't mean he didn't love the rest of them, but there was a special relationship between the Lord and John.
You know, there are certain people who, because of their makeup, their spirit about them, it's just, man, you just really like them.
John saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, well, that's a good thought. Yep. When you hear and you see, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel. This has happened several times in the book of Revelation. which showed me these things. Then said he, the angel, unto him, See thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and them that keep the sayings of this book.
So he's putting these categories together. He's not saying that the angels are prophets, or John's a prophet, or John is an angel. He's just saying these categories are in service to what God and what God has wanted done.
Verse 10, he saith unto me, seal not. And see, Daniel was told to seal up book till the time of the end.
The ending of this and the ending of Daniel are very similar, except opposite.
Yeah, seal up the things, you know, that it's going to make because
until the time of the end.
Because no one's going to understand them until the end time. We can understand those things now. The mark of the beast, we understand that. And the world destroying itself, that's clearly understandable now. So, one man ruling the world, we can see that. You couldn't have saw that 100 years ago. No way could you have understood that.
I can remember as a boy growing up, my uncle preached on it. He said, I don't know exactly how this is going to happen, but he said, I know since Israel's back in its land again, he said, I don't know how it's going to be, but God said it, and that's exactly what it's going to be.
Yeah. And seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. In other words, make it known. This is for now. This is for everybody.
Well, it began by saying that blessed is the person who's going to read it and whatnot. And you'll have people, and you've had this in your ministry, people say, oh, that's just such a hard book to understand. Yeah. Really not at all. No. It's because they're afraid of
and
not
boy,
being right with
God.
We've
gotten some good testimonies from people that have watched the show. They really feel like we've helped them with the book of Revelation and the end times.
Yeah.
And of course, this verse 10, ends with this statement when he says, seal not the sayings of the prophets of this book, for the time is at hand.
Yes.
And now it's been 2,000 years just about, but the time.
Well, we've been living in the end times for 2,000 years.
And now,
we've been living in the phrase, the last days for that time. And so we must be in the last few minutes of those days.
Yeah, and we are. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. In other words, this is it.
Because he's talking about John's time. He's talking about the church age here. He, up to this point, he's been talking about what's going to take place in the future.
Yeah.
All of this, the new heaven and earth he's in. Now he's back down here to the practical.
And I think he's saying, if you don't get saved and you're unjust when I come, you'll be unjust still. You're
unjust still.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, you've made your bed.
Exactly.
Let's see. That's verse 11. Let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still.
Yep.
In other words, if you're filthy when he comes, you'll be filthy later. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. So he turns, if you're righteous, you'll continue to be righteous.
Yep.
And that's not our righteousness, by the way. Let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly. That's the second time.
Yeah.
And my reward is with me to give every man according to, as his work shall be. And that's different than salvation now. Salvation
Absolutely.
Is not about works.
Nope.
But he is going to reward our good works.
This may allude back to what we see in chapter number 4.
Yeah.
The judgment seat of Christ and the rewards. Because when he comes, as you pointed out many times, first time secretly, even though we have a segment of Christianity, even in our circles that don't see that and don't believe it, but then he's going to come back physically or visibly at the full second coming.
Yeah. And then he says here, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last.
And we found that in chapter number 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, the attributes of Christ in chapter 1. Yep.
In other words, he's the beginning and the end. Everything that's ever happened in the realm of time is under his control.
Listen, verse 14. Him. Blessed are they that do his commandments.
Yes.
That they may have right to the tree of life. See, people who don't understand what he's saying here, you got to obey the commandment. You got to live right or you won't have part in this. That's not what he's saying.
No, no.
What is the commandment? The commandment is you must be saved.
That's
you must
it.
Be born again.
The commandment
you
is
must
you
believe.
Must be born believe again.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
You
got to
believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And enter in through the gates into the city, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. Mm-hmm. He's kind of gone back to Revelation 2 and 3 now,
yes,
hasn't he?
Mm-hmm. He's back into the church age. And when he's talking about the dogs and all of this outside, he's not talking about an eternity future. He's not talking about in this New Jerusalem, chapter 21, 22.
Yeah.
He's talking about John's time, our time, up until the end of this church age.
I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Here's the final plea. The bride and the Spirit and the bride say, come. Hey, that's us.
We're the bride.
That's us that have been raptured.
We're the ones that are supposed to even right now be saying, come.
Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely.
Yes.
Salvation
and
is
some
free
people say, well,
taking.
That means that water of life out of that river that you just read about. No, he's talking about the water of life that springs up in you.
Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water.
Yes.
Him that is athirst, come. Whosoever will, let him take of the water freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city. And from the things which are written in this book, he which testify these things say, surely I come quickly. That's a third or fourth time. Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And John,
amen.
And John, I believe, is permitted to say from his temple, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's on an island being persecuted.
Yeah. He doesn't know that he's going to get off that island in a few weeks.
I want to leave you plenty of time, Doc, for something you're going to do at the end here. So let me just take
a couple minutes.
And my summary here that I wrote here, we now come to the end of the book of Revelation and the end of the Bible with a final plea for man to come to Jesus for salvation. Then I have some lessons here. I'll just read through them quickly. Chapter 22 actually is a continuation of chapter 21 with a description of the New Jerusalem, basically verses 1 through 5. Nothing defiled or impure will ever enter into that place.
That's right. Whew. Because the devil and all lost is bound forever in the lake of fire.
Number 3, we will constantly behold the face of Jesus. That's verse 4.
Mm.
We'll see his face. Number 4, we will never be in darkness again. There's no more darkness.
Yep.
And I had a friend in the Navy. In fact, he came home with me on leave one time, and he was from Chicago. He wouldn't turn the light off in the bedroom we had. He was scared of the dark, honest to goodness. And anyway, the word of God, number 5, is faithful and true, verse 6. Revelation 22, verses 7 through 21, brings us back to the time before the rapture to warn us to be born again before it is too late. When Christ comes, number 7, he will come quickly. I think that's what he's... When he comes, he's coming quickly.
Yes.
And in other words, when the trumpet sounds, it's too late. It's too late to pack a bag.
In the twinkling of an eye.
Yep. And I think that's what people miss when he says, I come quickly. Well, what do you mean? Where is he? When he comes, he's coming quickly. And
I agree.
No, there'll be no time then to make a decision for Christ. If you don't have the oil in your lamp, it's too late to get the oil. The Lord Jesus has given pastors to the churches the responsibility to testify and preach these things to the people.
Yes.
And it's not written here, but I mentioned so often now that the pastors are the missing link. John was told to write the book of Revelation, give it to the 7 churches, the pastors.
And to their candlestick.
Yep. And the angels of the 7 churches, which is the pastors, and which means the pastors are supposed to relay the truths of Revelation to the people.
Absolutely.
And that's not happening today.
We're the bride that's supposed to right now being said, come, come.
Yep. One last plea from God to the lost to be saved in verse 17. A stern warning to those who would add or subtract to what God has said. And I take that not just to mean take away words out of the Bible, but to not define the words of the Bible properly.
Mm-hmm.
That's take away from the words, not take the words away. And that's wrong too.
Right.
I think he's talking about taking away from the words, not discerning it right.
Well, that's the time we're living in.
Yeah, like the word gospel. We were talking about in the office there. People don't understand what the word gospel means. It doesn't mean the death, burial, and resurrection. It does.
It does. But that's not limited to that only.
The gospel means God's word. It's the word of God.
What God said on any given subject.
Yeah. And part of God's word, according to the scriptures, it says that he died, that he wrote, that he was buried, and then he rose again.
According to the scriptures.
Yeah. And which is the gospel.
Yeah.
But Genesis 1 is the gospel.
Yeah.
And Ephesians 2 is the gospel. Every chapter of the Bible is the gospel. When he said we're to go to preach the gospel, you don't just preach the death, burial, and resurrection all day long. Mm-hmm. You know, you preach the whole counsel of God.
Yeah.
Personal application. And am I fulfilling the will of God for my life?
Right.
Part of the reason you and I are left here after we get saved is we've got a job to do. We've got something to do for Christ. Am I striving to stay clean and pure for the Lord? Do I long to see his face, or will I be ashamed at his coming? Do I realize that whatever I plan to be or do for Christ must be done before that trumpet sounds?
Mm-hmm.
After that, it's too late. Am I in a good Bible-preaching church under the leadership of a pastor? Do I ignore some of the plain teachings of the Bible because they interfere with my life? Boy, this gets prickly here, doesn't it? Am I looking forward to his soon return?
Amen.
Now, Doc, you've got a slide. Let me turn it over to you. Yeah. You've got something you wanted to end this on.
Yeah, we've got a slideshow put up there in a moment. As I teach through the book of Revelation often, I always use this to help people understand. I have some other slides. We don't have time to look at them today. But there are five... there are five things that are given when he falls down before the angel to worship him. He says, oh, no, don't worship me, worship God. And that's number one. And he gives five things there to do. And then when you study it, you realize there are some assurances. When people say, well, I don't understand the Bible. Well, wait a minute. When you don't understand the book of Revelation, whatnot, here's what you can get. Number one, you understand God's in control. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know God's in control. Secondly, Satan is doomed. I put in there his head is crushed because that's what takes you back to Genesis 3 and verse 15. The promise there of Jesus is in the future going to crush Satan's head. And so Satan is doomed. And thirdly, Jesus is destined for triumph. Man, yeah. I like that. Amen. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. Amen. And then number four, we're promised a position of ruling with Christ throughout eternity. We're going to rule and reign with Christ during the millennial reign. And then when he makes a new heaven and a new earth, we know there are going to be nations because there are the leaves for the healing of the nation. I don't know what all that means, other than I do know that our responsibility is still going to be ruling and reigning with Christ on a new earth in a new heaven. And this is a great chapter. And again, it not only closes out the book of Revelation, but it gave us a few more details of the new Jerusalem and the new earth. I don't know about you, but I've often said I don't want to spend my time dabbling my feet in the river of life for eternity. I want to be busy in the Lord's business.
Yeah.
I've spent over 60 years trying to be busy in the Lord's business down here. And I'm praying, and I do believe on the authority of Scripture that as a result, out of the judgment seat of Christ, I'm going to have not just rewards, but I'm going to have some responsibilities of, I think, very meaningful. And not just for the millennial reign, but for the eons of eternity. I don't know about you, but I like that. Amen.
Yeah.
And now I want to take our attention back to chapter number 21. And verse number 4, and I want to read it for you. Chapter 21 and verse number 4, very familiar to a lot of people. And it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Isn't that good? Look up a moment. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I won't have any three-lens glasses to look through. I won't have a hobbled up back that I can't hardly drive anymore. We're not going to have any sorrow. There's not going to be pain. Wow. And he said, there'll be no more tears and there'll be no more crying.
Yeah.
Well, let's think about that a moment. If it's a million years in eternity, I don't know how you measure it in eternity, but let's say there's a point in time in eternity way out there when all of a sudden you look around and you think, man, all of this that I'm enjoying, and then you think of somebody from your life on earth that missed heaven. It might have been a loved one. It might have been a mate, somebody who was a lifelong friend. And a tear begins to drop because they're not in heaven. The Bible says that'll never happen because the last part of that verse says, for the former things are passed away. Here's the thing, folks. There's coming a time in eternity future when everybody that is not in heaven, not in the celestial city, not enjoying the glories of eternity, every person you've ever known that is not with you in glory, there's a time coming. You'll never give that individual another thought.
It'll be like they never existed.
Now listen to me. If you stumbled across our channel or you've been listening all the way through and you don't know for sure you're saved, listen to me. There's a time coming that if you die without Christ, in the eons of eternity, while you're in the blackness of lost, in the eternity forever lost in the lake of fire, nobody, listen to me, nobody that's in heaven will ever think about you again. You'll never have a prayer ever heard again. You'll never have an opportunity ever again. For those of us that are saved, it ought to motivate us to realize there's a time coming when this is going to be the reality. That's why he ends the book with saying, as a bride, come.
Yeah.
Come. I don't want you left behind. If you have loved ones that's without Christ, you need to do everything you can because there's a time coming. If they miss heaven, you'll never give them another second thought.
Yeah, they'll be gone forever.
Forever.
Well, I don't know. There's nothing else that I need to say here. There's a final plea right there from Doc. You better make sure you're saved, and you better reach your loved ones before it's too late.
Yes.
And we've told Doc he's going to have a place on this program as long as he's physically able and wants to do a show, if we have to wheel him in here. Until next time, keep your eyes on them skies.